Take your Bibles this morning, if you would, and go to Luke chapter 6. And I'm having a spell, folks. I was sitting there thinking, and the words in that song, folks, wouldn't it be good if we took a victory lap this morning and Jesus came back?
Amen.
Amen. Wouldn't it be just like him to let us take one more victory lap on Sunday morning and let the last soul be saved? Oh, man, it'd be good of him to let us have the last soul won at the Landmark Baptist Church right here and then take us home to be with him, wouldn't it? He's that kind of God, isn't he?
Amen.
Luke chapter 6, if you're looking for something polished this morning, you came to the wrong place. It's not that I don't love him and that I wouldn't want to do him that way and preach for you that way this morning, but I got up early this morning and I had something prepared, and we got enough preachers in here that know what I'm talking about. I prepared something, but God said, that ain't mine. I ain't on that. I want you to preach my message. I said, well, give it to me then. Amen. 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 And just this morning early, God, I mean, you can't make this stuff up, folks. I mean, you know, you can't dial up, you know, enough. And, I'm glad you did dial up and send some pledges in, amen. But you can't dial up God's work and his Holy Spirit. You can't work it up. He's got to show up, amen. And this morning I just went to the Lord, and you may think this was planned. I hope you realize. I mean, I don't know. I'm probably joking myself to think it, you know, it was clear on the radio. We hadn't thought all that through. Even the pens, folks, a long time ago, God laid that on my heart to be a representation of what God does, and through that pen and just the Daily Manna Club being a part of our radio station. But folks, I had no idea we were going to do that at the end and want everybody to have a part of that and all those things. And then what God would do in his scripture this morning. And, I just want to take a victory lap this morning, if you'll let me, and talk about my Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm going to put this wireless mic on, guys. I know that since I've been the pastor, I've not worn this thing. And they've done their best to make my voice sound good. All right. So this morning, I don't care what you do, it ain't going to sound good, okay? And so I know I know I'm going to have to move around. Let me say before I start, for everyone that's in the video room, I am sorry. Amen. If you had to work the video room and run that camera like this, all right? Now, I'm not planning on running, but I am planning on walking around a little bit. But in Luke chapter 6... we find the Lord Jesus. Am I on this thing, guys? All right, turn me up a little bit. Don't make me lift my voice up too high, and help me a little bit, because I'm going to get loud, I'm sure, along the way. And here in Luke chapter 6, we find, I probably should get to Luke 6, amen. I was in John 6, amen. That's a good book, too. It's a good chapter. Luke chapter 6, we find, I don't know, I read the first part and I thought, man, that sounded like my week. There in the first verse it says, and it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first. I felt like we just passed a Sunday. And what happened to the week in between, amen? But that's not what he's talking about there. He's talking about the feast of the Lord. And that second Sabbath after the first, they just passed over. The Passover lamb just was sacrificed. And the second day began the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. And that's a perfect picture of a sinless Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, it didn't take but another day and he rose from the dead. The Feast of the First Fruits. And he fulfilled all those things, amen, already. We don't look forward to what's going to happen. I have the blessing of being in the church age and look back to what Jesus has already done. Amen. And so when we're talking about all this, and I couldn't help but feel like I was right there. But man, then I started reading and thinking about, man, this is what it's saying. That they're right in the midst. They're just the Passover lamb. And I can imagine what Lord Jesus was thinking right then. It ain't going to be long, and that's going to be me. He's thinking, listen, he knew what he was there to picture. But just like he knew he was going to be slain before the foundation of the world, just like he knew he was going to go to the cross, he knew he was going to rise again on the third day. He had it already marked down. He knew that he had the power to lay down his life, and he knew he had the power to raise it up again. Man, I started off the week praying and begging God, and he already said, listen, I wanted a victory, and I've been begging God all week, and I believe you have. Many of you planned on being a part of it, but I mean, he already knew what he was going to do. He just wanted me in on his plan. And he comes to this place, and he said that he went through the cornfield. So on this second Sabbath after the first, they're going through the cornfield. I've been in a couple of them. Now, it ain't like our cornfields. They're kind of talking about the wheat field over there. And you say, why do they call it that? I don't know. I mean, it's perfect. It's the Bible. It's God's word. And so they're pressing through this field, and I mean, they're hungry. Now, I don't know about you, but I've eaten a lot of different things. And if it had been a cornfield, I'd have rubbed off the corn. I've rubbed off raw corn and eat that. That's pretty good. And if you, and I mean, horse corn, that'll break your teeth off. But if it was sweet corn, that'd be some good stuff. Amen. Take a chunk. I've been in the field so thirsty, I whacked the end with my pocket knife. By the way, every man ought to carry a pocket knife. All right? You say, for what? Well, you don't know what you need it for. But don't be caught without a knife. And so I'd take my knife in the field, and I'd whack the end of a cucumber off, and I'd suck all the water out of that thing. You say, would you? That's what we did before we had bottled water, folks. Amen? Before we started paying for water like gasoline, we'd whack the end of it off in the field, and we'd suck that out of there. And we'd go on. But I mean, here they walk through, they're hungry, and I mean, I've been to that point where you're in the field and you're hungry, and lunch don't seem like it's ever going to come. I've seen some boys throwing watermelon. And the farmer, man, we're tossing them, and I seen one of them boys get that look in his eye like, I'm fixing to eat one of these. And he'd go, oops. That thing bust, and the farmer would go, the next one you're paying for. And everybody would die. We'd dive on that thing. And we'd eat up all the pieces, seeds and all, man. We'd eat that thing. But that's where they're at. I mean, they're hungry. They were hungry. I started the week off awful hungry for God to do something. I don't know about you folks, but I was hungry for God to do something. You know, I would to God that God's people would get hungry for some things again. I would to God that God's people would come longing and looking for God to do something in their life again. Do something through them again like he's always done. Man, I'm thankful that I'm a part of a church. When it comes to Restore-a-thon, we go, we're looking for God to do it again. Because he showed up year after year after year. And here these guys are walking through the field. Now, the Pharisees are going to show up. And listen, I don't care who you are. There'll be people, you'll be bragging about our Restore-a-thon and bragging on God, not on us as a church, not on us as a ministry, but saying God did this. He did a mighty work through our ministry. And you'll be bragging on it. And some old Pharisee will throw a wet blanket on you. I mean, you can mark her down. That's the way it's going to be. And these guys are hungry. These guys have been working. These guys have been working for the Lord, and they're coming through the field, and they're just taking and getting some of that chaff and rubbing it off. You got to be awful hungry to eat wheat seeds. Amen. I don't even really like peanuts, but that'd be better than wheat seeds. And Richard eats boiled peanuts. Them are the nastiest things. Mm. You say, well, you ain't from Georgia. Absolutely. If that's what it takes to be from Georgia, I don't want none of it. Okay? I love Georgia. Amen. I love the South, but I cannot deal with the boiled peanuts. All right? You can have them. Listen, I can be in the South because Richard will eat mine for me. Okay? He loves them that much. I don't know how I got off on that, but amen. But these guys are just eating these things, and I mean, they're going through, and the Pharisees see them, and they said, man, you're breaking the law. You know, this ain't the first time these guys have broke the law. This ain't the first time that they've had a mark against their record. This is just one of the ones that they could catch them in. These guys were trying to catch these guys with all kinds of things. Can I just remind you today, you know, when you woke up this morning, the first time you sinned today, that wasn't the first time. Can I just remind you that you're a sinner saved by grace if you're saved today? Don't climb up on your pinnacle and decide that you're something because, no, you're only something because Jesus saved you. He saved you from a devil's hell with what he did on Calvary. He paid for your sin. And the only reason there's any good in me, the only reason there's only any good in you, the only reason these guys had any kind of good in them was because of the one that they were with, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now they're coming into this place, and in verse 2 it says, "And a certain of the Pharisees said unto them, Why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day? And Jesus answered them, saying, Have ye not read so much as this, what David did when he himself was in hungered and they were with him? How he went into the house of God and did take and eat the showbread and gave also to them that were with him, which is not lawful to eat but for the priest alone. And he said unto them, That the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." Can I just say today, number one, you want a point, the Lord is the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the Lord of every day of the week, folks. It don't matter here. They were worshiping on Saturday. Today we're worshiping on Sunday because of what he's done. They were on Saturday looking for what he was going to do because it was a day of rest. They were supposed to stay away from that. Not only this, but realize, folks, they're in the midst of some holy days. Passover has just happened. Now the unleavened bread's going on. And they're looking forward to first fruits. And again, they were hungered. And Jesus says, hey, let's be practical here. You feed yourself. We were just coming through the field from some work. We were out doing some soul winning. We were out doing some, amen, restoring. We were doing some things out there. Man, we've come in here and we were hungry. And Jesus has to tell them, hey, shut your pie hole. I'm Lord of the Sabbath. You say, what do you mean? Jesus wouldn't be like that. Listen, I'm here to tell you, you want to talk about an offensive thing. He says the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. He pretty much just let them know, I am the Lord. He couldn't have said it a whole lot more plainer. He couldn't have said, hey, you're looking at the one that created the Sabbath, so don't tell me what to do with it. Now, he'd come through there. Now, I got a good picture of this. And this morning, if you could have watched the tears fall from my eyes on the pages of the scripture when I read that, because I knew that there was going to be a bunch of people in this place wearing their showbread last night. There was a lot of people that were going to show up at church this morning because of the request of the preacher to help us reach a goal, and they were going to have their pen, and they were going to be proud of what they did. They were going to be proud that they helped out. They were going to get their pen if they hadn't already picked it up yet, and they were going to wear their showbread to church. And you know what the showbread was, folks? It sat on the table of showbread in the temple. And the priest ate that bread up, all right? They ate that thing up, and they took care of it, but they would bake every day. You want to talk about some of the work of the temple. Sometimes we think we have tedious things, but they had things that pointed to the future. They had a table in the house of God in the temple, and they had 6 stacks on this side and 6 stacks on this side, and they were these round, big old cakes, and they would lay on that table, and that showbread was a show of all the 12 tribes of Israel. And that table was a sign of a covenant he had made between him and his people, not just of a land, folks, but of a Savior that would come and save the world. The nation of Israel was supposed to be the light unto the Gentile nations, that Jesus was coming to save us from our sins. And today we don't have to look back, and I ain't got 12 stacks because I'm not a Jew today, and I don't have a table of showbread. I got a table of remembrance, one that looks back to a Jesus that paid for my sins, that went to heaven, came up there, and he said, hey, Father, I'll go and save my people from their sins. I'll go and pay their sin debt. I'll go do what they can't do for themselves. That was the everlasting covenant that God made with Abraham, not just to give him a piece of land. What good's a piece of land if you could never be raised from the dead? What good is a piece of ground for eternity if there's no eternity in your soul? What good is any of that in the future if there's not a Savior to raise you up from the dead? Listen, he's not just a Savior or an eternal covenant for a piece of ground for Abraham. but for Isaac, Jacob, and everyone that would turn to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation. I'm not a part of it. I'm not a Jew, but I get in on the good things of the Jew. I don't got a table of showbread. I got a table of remembrance. There's a time that I go to the Lord, and every time that I take his body and his blood, it's a remembrance of what he did for me on Calvary. I love it when we get to take that time, and we as a church, we come together in the Lord's Supper, and we get together, and we don't one go before the other, but we all not trying to show ourselves better than somebody else, but collectively, we show each other that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, folks, I don't know about you, but I'm so glad this little pen here, it's not just for a radio station. This pen right here that I wear this morning, it ain't showing off that I gave something. This pen for me this morning is showbread that Jesus did something for me. Because if I hadn't have come to salvation, I would have never paid any money for any pen. If I had not come to Jesus and him changed my heart and put something good in me, then I wouldn't even wanted to listen to that music that was on that station. If I hadn't come to Jesus in salvation, I would be so far. I wouldn't have a family. I wouldn't have kids that I'm proud of. If I hadn't come to Jesus in salvation, I wouldn't even have the marriage that I have today. But I'm here to tell you that I'm taking a victory lap because he did not only that. He saved my never dying soul. Hey, he saved me out of my sins, and then he gave me a family. He gave me a wife and children to love. And then more than that, he said, hey, you desire $260,000+. I'll do that for you too. Amen. This pen right here is a table of showbread for me. This pen right here is a pen of remembrance for my first restore-a-thon as your pastor. I got to be up there with my preacher again, and it was a little different this year. It's a little different than it's been in the past. Hey, listen, don't kid yourself. You're thinking like me. Is God going to show up again? Yeah. Don't fool yourself. You were thinking the same thing I was thinking. Because you're human. And some of you had to decide whether you were going to be faithful again. But I had a preacher call me and encourage me. He said, hey, he said, I know a lot of people. This is what the preacher said to me last night. We were coming into the wee hours. Can I just thank you? I realize that you never have been given to a man. You've been given to God all along. And I'm thankful that my preacher taught you that. My preacher taught you to give to God. And even when there was a transition of leadership in this place, God's people kept right on. They kept pressing on the old time way. Hey, folks, I'm excited this morning because God showed up. Do you know how many people outside of this place are going, I don't think that place is going to make it no more. I don't know if he's got God on him like Pastor Carter did. We'll see with this restore-a-thon. You say, you ought not talk like this. Why? That's what people say. That's what people think. A preacher called me on the phone and he said, listen, don't you let no man tell you got shoes to fill. He said, Pastor Carter wore his shoes out. He said, you got your own shoes. You got your own decades to preach. You got your own battles and hills to climb. He said, you wear your own shoes. Hey, my preacher taught me how to tie my shoes. Spiritually speaking, he taught me what I know to do. Listen, how else do I know to press on but to press on the old time way? Who else would I look to? He taught me to look to Jesus for my power and the Holy Spirit of God to answer my prayers. He taught me to come in here and preach what God told me to preach, not what I had, or not what I thought was polished, but to preach what God wanted preached. Hey, God, listen. Church, I'm taking a victory lap this morning. I'm excited. I don't know about you, but I'm excited at what God's going to do. I came in here, and man, I tell you, God's done some things in my heart just over the last few days and shown me some things and blessed me. I don't know about you. I hope God's blessed you through it. I hope God's done something in your life. Look at the scripture with me. He goes through the table. He said, listen, just because y'all said something like that, I am Lord of the Sabbath. Don't get out of bounds. I'm the one that, you know, I'm so glad. Listen, not just because I'm the one, but you know, God, you know, sometimes you say, well, Pastor Carter picked somebody or did this. Can we just get on the same page as God? And I realized just like I had picked a message, he can pick somebody else. God can do what he wants to do. And God has chosen me to be here in this church and to lead this thing. And he's chose you to be our people and to be in this place and to serve God and to get after people. I'm so glad I watched the buses roll in this morning and I watched everybody be faithful just like they were last week, even though they were tired, even though they were wore out, they still went out and got people on the bus routes. I came in here and people were still in their place for Sunday school. People were still in the nursery just like they always have, pressing on the old time way. It ain't never been one man. I know the old saying, everything rises and falls on leadership. I do believe that that statement is true. But that's his leadership. Amen. And you know what I know? There's another statement that I love too. Somebody said, everything rises and falls on fellowship. Those two are married together and you can't break them. You could have the greatest leader in all the world, like a man like Moses. But when the people turn on that man, every time I read it in the scripture, God turned on them. Amen. Hey, let's keep pressing on the old time way. He gets through here. He said, I'm not just God of the Sabbath. He says he goes on and he comes into the synagogue. Look at verse 6. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day that he might find an accusation against him. There's always somebody. Listen, if somebody got on the internet today, they'd cut my words to pieces and post some kind of crazy thing that I didn't say. Everybody's always looking to make accusation against somebody, folks. Somebody don't want to live for God and they'll do that thing. But man, I'm so thankful that Jesus didn't care. And I want to follow him and I want to be a Christian like I ought to be. And I know people are going to say things and I know people are going to take things out of context, but I'm just going to go on anyway. Jesus didn't stop healing. Jesus didn't stop working. Jesus didn't stop preaching because he knew people were going to be after him. He just kept on the old time way. He says, but he knew their thoughts and said to the man, which had the withered hand, rise up, stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. Then Jesus said unto him, he said, I will ask you one thing. He ain't talking to the man. He's talking to the crowd. He knew what they were thinking. I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days? Look, you see that? That puts it in context for it, doesn't it, folks? Oh, man, the Bible, the King James Bible is always right. Do you know your new versions take out that S? I will ask one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it? Verse 10, and looking round about unto them, he said unto them, and to the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Listen, I don't know about you, and we didn't have anybody physically healed like that, but restore-a-thon was a miracle to me. I don't know if restore-a-thon was a miracle to you, and maybe you don't think about it like I did, but hey, I told everybody, said, where did we end up last year? Our total was $297,000 last year. We were sitting at Pretty, and we were rejoicing. Pastor and I were taking laps inside, waving the hanky. Brother Doug was looking for me. Brother Parsons, I need to talk to you. Brother Parsons, I need to talk to you. I said, you best get away from me, Brother Doug. And I was trying to finish up Restore-a-thon, and he was running around. And we had 247, and I was going, yeah, whoa, 247. Because, I mean, a few years before that, we were doing 217, 218, around there. Man, we were sitting at 247. I was going, you know, I mean, whatever it is. I mean, you know, Jeff Cruz made us pastor walk the plank one year. And, I mean, we were seeing victory. We had done better than we had done in years. Yes. And for Pastor's 50th anniversary, somebody dropped 50 on top of it. Can I tell you, a 50th anniversary only comes around once, folks. Amen? So, I mean, I don't know about you, but I remember last year. And I put it all in perspective of what God's done. God's people was faithful. Do you know what the Lord did? He said, I'll ask you a thing. He wanted to see what everybody else would do. He asked a big task. He asked a big thing. Hey, do you think we ought to save on the Sabbath day? You think we ought to do right all the time, no matter who's in leadership? Amen and amen. Amen. He says, stretch forth your hand. Now, I can tell you what God told me the beginning of this week. I said, God, I need you to do it again. I told him, I said, God, my Elijah has done it year after year after year. And I'll come as Elisha to you. And I said, God, I need to show up. I need the God of Pastor Carter to show up at this Restore-a-thon. I need you to do it for me like you used to do it for him. I need God's people to honor me in my position like they've always honored him. I need God's people to honor you like they've always honored you and give and trust you to give back. I need them to make promises that they'll keep just like they did for him. Hey, folks, we're real people. We got real needs. We have real desires. We have real worries. Everyone else, even your preacher. And you know what? I'm not kidding you. On Tuesday, God said, put out your hand. Stretch forth your hand. You asked me for it. Now show up to take it. You say, did you worry? Absolutely. Do you think that guy stretched forth his hand and expected it to be made whole? Not at all. He just did what he was told. God said, put forth your hand. Show up and take it. Come and take what I'll give you. And I had no idea what God would give. But listen, I'd have been satisfied with 200,000. I'd have been satisfied with 100,000. I'd have taken a victory lap for 50,000. But listen, I'm thankful that God went above and beyond all that I could ever ask or think of him. Amen. Hey, folks. God did something in this place. God did something. It's some showbread for me. You know what? Jesus looks at them and they said, is it lawful or not to heal on the Sabbath day or not? He had told them, hey, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. Now he says, I'm Lord of the law too. Hey, don't tell me what the law says. I'm the one that wrote the law. As Sheriff Grady Judd would say, Jesus said, I am the law. He said, stretch forth your hand. Hey, folks. This table of remembrance that we talked about, you know what it's a remembrance of? The lawgiver that said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die, came and paid the price of his own law so that you or I could go to heaven if we come to him in salvation. The one that said, I am the law, said, I'll take your prison time for you. I'll take your punishment for you. Hey, don't ever forget what Christ paid for your sin. Don't ever get over it. I read this morning again in the scripture of that lady that came and broke that alabaster box and poured it out on him. And Jesus said to him, all them people said, get this woman of sin out of here. And Jesus was saying, whoa, 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 whoa. He said, you know, who do you think loves more, the one that was forgiven a little or one that was forgiven much? Right. You know, if you keep it not, listen, I want, Jesus is the one that should forget your sins, not you. You should remember who you are. You're a sinner saved by grace. And every day, just like we tallied up those pledges and all those forms every day, I ought to take account and realize that all I ever deserved was a devil's hell, but Jesus took it for me. And Jesus went to hell and paid my hell for me and then rose again. And said, hey, if I rose, you can rise. That first fruits of the resurrection is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's also a picture if he rose and he's the first fruits, that means there's some coming after. There's going to be a day I'm going to hear the trump, either in the grave or on the other side, and I'm going to come up out of that place and bust open. I've got some grandparents that are buried in cemeteries, and I can't wait to see them on the way up. I can't wait to thank them for the faithfulness that they showed me in this life. Hey, folks, he's the law. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. He is the law. Turn over to John chapter 6 with me and we'll finish. Some of you are thinking, you said if I got this pen, you'd be short. Hey, I remember. I didn't say how short. John chapter 6, if you would. We'll shorten the passage amount. We won't read near as much today, but do you know back in Luke chapter 6, if we read far enough, I want to read it. All right, can I have time? All right, I'm going to time out like preacher does, all right? This is your time. You said I could, all right? Luke chapter 6, I'm going to read the verse to you. Do you realize that in the same chapter we were just in, the Lord of the Sabbath and the Lord of the law said this on the mount, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, with all it shall be measured to you again." Folks, that just isn't an Old Testament promise. That's in the New Testament by the Lord Jesus Christ. That covenant promise isn't just for Old Testament saints. That's for you too. And it isn't just a coincidence, and it just happened to me in the same chapter that God took me to this morning. We talked about last week our motives ought to be right about our giving on Wednesday. But can I just say this? Thank you so much. God is faithful, and He knows exactly what you gave. I don't know what you gave, but God does. And He said that He'd push it down and press it down. He was going to measure it out again. Say, well, I need it. I made a promise that God's going to have to keep. Amen. He's always been faithful. Keith Carringer said to me, he said, "Brother Parsons, has there ever been a challenge that we've not met at Restore-a-thon?" And I said, "When has God ever not been faithful?" Amen. Never. He's never not been faithful. He said, "Brother Parsons, do you think there'll ever be?" I'm just going to trust God and stay on His side, folks. Amen. I'm going to go with Him. In chapter 6 of John, He says this. People have been asking Him. He's by the seaside. I wish I could read more of the scripture to you and get the context today. But He's been doing some miracles. They just had the loaves and fishes, and people were following Him, not because of who He was, but because of what He does. And you know, I believe in a room this big and people here, without a doubt, there's people that know of Jesus and know of what He can do, but you showed up and you don't know Him personally. You showed up just like the crowd did for the loaves and the fishes or for the overflow this morning. But you need desperately to be saved. He says this in verse 27, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat, that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For Him hath God the Father sealed." Then said they unto Him, "What shall we do?" He's still talking to that crowd. "That we might work the works of God." Do you realize salvation is not a work of man? Jesus just said they need to come unto Him, they can get a meat that's eternal life. Hey folks, can I just tell you, you can't work your way to heaven. You can't be good enough to get there. You can't teach Sunday school enough to make it. You can't get baptized enough times to get to heaven. You can't be Catholic enough to get to heaven. You can't be Methodist enough to get to heaven. And you can't be Baptist enough to get to heaven. You got to be saved and accept what Jesus did, His payment on Calvary. He says in verse 29, "Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He hath sent." Amen. He comes all the way down. You say, "Brother Parson, we're going to tie it." Look, He says, "Then they said unto Him," this is Jewish, they wanted a sign like always. "What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work?" Verse 31, "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it was written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus saith unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Folks, I'm here to tell you, he's not just Lord. He's not just Lord of the Sabbath. He's not just Lord of the law, but he's the Lord of eternal life. The only way that anybody's ever going to get to heaven is by accepting the payment that Jesus made on Calvary. The only way one can receive eternal life is by the one who purchased it for you. And today, if you're here and you've already accepted it, you ought to be having glory in your soul this morning after what God has done. But if you're in this place and you have never received Jesus as your Savior, then I would say to you, listen, work the works of God and walk down the aisle this morning at the invitation and accept Jesus as your Savior. You come down here and let God do the work. You come down here and say, I couldn't do the work, but you did it for me. I accept your works. I accept your cross. I accept your payment, your blood atonement for my sins. I accept Jesus as my Savior. Hey, folks, it's the only way to get to heaven. It's the only way any man ever got to heaven, or any woman. Listen today. The only reason we can take a victory lap is because of what Jesus did for us. Over 2,000 years ago, my Savior became the Passover lamb that was pictured through all those years. He spread his arms out wide and was crucified, and they laid him in a tomb. But 3 days later, he came up out of that place. And evermore, he sat on the right hand of the Father. Folks, listen, if you'll believe on him today, he'll save you. Just like he saved me a number of years ago. Just like he saved Pastor Carter. Just like he saved Brother Grinnell. Just like he saved so many people in this building today. If you'll come to him and accept him as your Savior, he'll save you. Hey, folks, because of his victory on Calvary, we can take victory laps every day of our life if we'll live in victory, if we'll live on the top side, if we'll follow his Spirit and live for him, we can live in victory. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, would you stand to your feet? The musicians are going to come, but I'm speaking to those that are lost, those that don't know for sure they're on their way to heaven. If you're here and you don't know if you're saved, would you step out in the aisle and come down and meet me in the front today and say, Pastor, I need to be saved. There'll be people standing at the end of the aisle. You don't have to come all the way to me. Stop one of those folks and say, I need to be saved. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, nobody's looking around but me. If you're one of those people and you're not saved, but you'd like for me to pray for you, would you slip your hand up and say, Preacher, pray for me. I'm not saved. Preacher, I need to be saved this morning. Would you slip your hand up and let me pray for you? Is there one anywhere in the building? Is there one? I'm not seeing a hand in the building today. Do this. If you know you need to be saved, step out and come. Brother Bert, would you sing?
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God. Lamb of God, I call.
close your eyes. God's working this morning. People have stepped out and come. Would you pray right where you are that God would work in their hearts and do the work that He needs to do? That they'd turn to Christ this morning if that's what they need, or that He would help with any other need that's there. God's been so good to us. Let's pray and ask Him to help us this morning. God's done a work, folks. I hope you'll pray. Brother Bert, would you sing?
Just as I am, though tossed about with many.
You need to be saved. You can still step out and come.
Flick many a doubt, fightings and fears.
You need to accept Christ. You can still step out and come. Just as